Susania and Little Newsiers present Boxer Blue and Brown.
Hey, you. Are you 8? Because I am. And my name's Bram.
And I'm Jake, Bram's dad. But some people call me Boxer Blue. Blah! And here is the news.
Bram, I'm so happy that you're here right now. But you know, I'm really kind of thirsty. I'm wondering if you can tell me where's the water, Bram? Where can I find the water?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you, it's actually, there was a drought, in the whole city.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. I mean, here in New Jersey, we don't have droughts very often, but, I'm really thirsty, so where should I go get water, Bram?
You should go to the, you go to California. They have, the Pacific, and, since there, it all dried out, so there, it's really cold, so they still have water.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay, so I should drink the water from the ocean?
Yep, and it's not salt.
Oh, okay, well, I'm a dog man anyway, so it doesn't matter. Boys and girls, it is April 2024, and I'm Boxer Blue, and my son Bram is here, and we're going to give you some news for kids. Are you ready? Okay, our first article is all about Fruit Stripes.
Hey, guess what? Fruit Stripe gum, the one with the wavy zebra stripes that give you the best 2 seconds of flavor ever, is gone. Poof, vanish. Like RIP Fruit Stripe, you were a legend in my lunchbox. So here's the deal. The candy company Ferrera decided to stop making Fruit Stripes because of consumer preferences and some weird purchasing patterns. Like, what kind of patterns are they talking about? Zigzags, polka dots? I don't get it. Anyways, this gum has been around since the early 1960s, way before my time. It's like ancient gum or something. People on social media are all like, oh no! The wildest 3 second ride for your taste buds is gone. It's like chasing a drug high, they say. Seriously? It's just gum, not a roller coaster. The gum packs were so cool with 5 sticks, each a different color and flavor. Cherry, lemon, orange, peach, and wet and wild melon. Yeah, I know. I don't know what wet and wild melon is either, but it sounds crazy. There were these mascots like Yipes the zebra, who was the big shot. You couldn't even get Yipes temporary tattoos with your gum. Imagine that, having a tattoo, having a zebra on your arm after chewing gum. So wild. And get this, people remember trying to make the flavor last by eating all 17 sticks in one go. That's a lot of chewing. I can barely finish my veggies, let alone 17 sticks of gum. Now they say you might still find Fruit Stripes in stores, but who knows? It's like a treasure hunt. I checked online, and big shots like Walmart and Amazon say it's unavailable. But guess what? You can find it on eBay for a whopping $189. That's like a million gumballs worth. So farewell, Fruit Stripe. You may be gone, but your flavor-packed 3 second legacy lives on. Lives on in the hearts of kids everywhere. Keep chewing, my friends, even if it's not as wild as Fruit Stripe.
Douche.
Okay, thanks there, Bram. We'll gather around, kiddos. I've got a story about Bad Dog. Not the four-legged kind, but a folky duo from Washington, D.C. These two, David Post and Craig Blackwell, aren't in it for the fame or fortune. They're just a couple of old-timers who love playing music. they recorded an album called The Jukebox of Regret, not to become rock stars, but to hand out free CDs at a house party. How sweet, right? Now here's where it gets wild. After posting their album on SoundCloud, guess what happened? Their songs magically appeared on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and a bunch of other music places. But here's the kicker. Each song got a new name, and it wasn't Bad Dog getting credit. Nope. Some mystery artist took the spotlight. So imagine this. You make a delicious batch of cookies, and your neighbors start selling them, claiming they're the master baker. Not cool, huh? Well, that's what happened to Bad Dog's tunes. Pop Song became With Me Tonight by Cairo Shellen, and Verona turned into I Told You by Ferdinand Elsing. Talk about a music mix-up. The band couldn't even get CDs made because the company said, hold on, prove these songs are yours. It's like they got locked out of their own house. Mr. Blackwell said it felt like someone stole his prized possessions. I bet he wished for a superhero cape to catch those music thieves. So why did this happen? Well, there are these sneaky folks in the music world who try to make money off other people's tunes. They do weird stuff like creating fake songs and pretending they're hits. It's like they're wearing invisible capes and hiding in the shadows. Now, these Bad Dog guys tried everything, sending notices, proving their songs were legit, but it was a real puzzle. Even though one is a lawyer and the other is a retired law professor, they couldn't crack the case of the disappearing tunes. It's like a mystery movie, but with guitars instead of magnifying glasses. In the end, they found out that a big music company, Warner Music, was unknowingly part of this mess. It was like a superhero team-up. Once Warner knew what happened, they swooped in, took down the imposter songs, and saved the day. The Bad Dog guys finally got their songs back, and they even made some CDs for that house party. Hooray for happy endings! So kiddos, remember this tale when you're singing your favorite tunes. Watch out for those music pirates. They might sneak in and try to steal the spotlight. And hey, if your cookies become famous, make sure you get the credit, not the neighbor. Keep rocking like Bad Dog.
All right, kiddos, gather around for a story about towns, canes, and really old folks. So there are these towns in New England, and when someone gets super duper old, like 100 years old, the town gives them a special cane. It's not just any cane. It's a golden topped ebony. Cane with the Caspian. Town's Caspian. Name on Caspian. It. Fancy,
Caspian,
huh?
You gotta stop. Ebony. You gotta say ebony. Ebony?
Ebony. This whole tradition started way back in 1909 when a newspaper guy named Edwin Grazier decided to give canes to towns in Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. He wanted to say, hey, you're the oldest citizen. Here's a cool cane. But not every town got one. Connecticut and Vermont felt a bit left out. Now, fast forward to today, and over 700 towns used to do this cane thing. But oh boy, it's not as easy as it sounds. Some canes got lost, stolen, or vanished into thin air. Imagine that, losing a cane as old as your great-grandma. That there's even a town in Maine where someone stole their cane in 1995, and they still haven't found it. Talk about a mystery. People in these towns took this cane thing super seriously. They had to pass the cane from one old person to the next. And that came with a lot of tricky tasks, like making sure the cane didn't disappear or get lost. And when someone passed away, the town had to gently take the cane back. Not an easy job, let me tell you. But here's the twist. Some towns stopped doing it because it got too hard. People didn't want to the cane because it made them feel old, or they thought it brought bad luck. Silly, right? It's just a cane. Now there are towns trying to bring back the tradition, like this guy in Watertown, Massachusetts, who spent 20 years looking for their missing cane. Finally found it, but guess what? People don't want the replica canes anymore. Too bad. So the moral of the story is, even if you lose your old fancy cane, it's the idea that matters, not the object. And remember, if your town gives you a golden cane one day, just say thank you, because it's not every day you get a cane that's older than your grandpa.
Douche.
Okay, so this is one of our favorite types of stories. A little controversial, interesting. Talk about something interesting happening in a school in Brooklyn, New York City, not so far from our place in New Jersey. So there's a school called Public School 261, and every year the kids there have a march to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. They make cool signs and talk about important stuff like being kind and caring for the earth. But this year, something happened that changed their plans. There was a big fuss about a map in their classroom. The map showed countries in North Africa and the Middle East, but it didn't include Israel. Instead, it said Palestine. Oh boy, it caused quite a stir. Some people wrote about it on social media, and a newspaper called the New York Post even made a big story with the headline, "Brooklyn Public School Omits Israel from Qatar-Funded Classroom Map, Labels It Palestine." The grown-ups got really upset about it, especially the local politicians. They wanted to know why the school showed the map that way. The school decided to take down the map and said sorry for any problems it caused. They even called in some experts to help figure out what to do next. But here's the tricky part. Some parents got worried that the class where they learned about Arab art might be canceled. They wrote a letter asking to keep the program because it celebrates the diversity of their neighborhood. Now the school is trying to make everyone feel safe and supported, but it's not easy. There's a lot of disagreement, and some people are being mean online to the teacher, Miss Rita. She's the one who teaches the kids about Arab art and culture, and she sounds really nice. So in the end, it's like a big puzzle with different pieces, maps, feelings, and people's opinions. The school is working hard to figure it out and make everyone happy. Let's hope they find a solution that makes everyone smile.
Douche.
Hey buddies, let me tell you about something super fun happening in Los Angeles. There's this cool workout called Clown Cardio, and it's not your regular exercise class. It's like a mix of fitness and improve, and it's all about being silly.
It's like a mix of fitness and improv. It means like comedy. Say it again. It's like a mix of fitness and improv.
It's like a mix of fitness and improv, and it's all about being silly and having a blast. So in Clown Cardio, there's no actual clowns with face paint or red noses, but they use funny stuff like bicycle horns, mini circus tents, and popcorn boxes to make the workout hilarious. Picture this, games like Blob Tag, a wild version of musical chairs, and even a circus tent version of Capture the Flag. It's like a big party with exercise. The person who started this awesome class is Jamin Parkinen. He wanted to make people laugh and have a good time, especially after his mom got sick. He thought, why not bring joy and goofiness into our work? And that's how Clown Cardio was born. In this class, everyone, no matter their age or gender, gets to
let loose
and have fun. They play games like clown dodgeball to disco tunes and even try to balance popcorn boxes. It's not about winning. It's all about playing and laughing together. Now you might be wondering, can being silly actually be good for exercise? Well, some smart people say that laughing just like exercising can make you feel super happy. It's like a boost for your brain, and it can help reduce stress. How cool is that? People love Clown Cardio, not just for the workout, but also because they get to connect with others. It's a bit like a big family where everyone looks out for each other. And guess what? Some folks even said it helped them get over their fear of clowns. They realized clowns are not about scaring people, but defying failure. So next time you think about exercise, maybe imagine a bunch of friends being silly and laughing together in clown cardio class. It's like having a party while keeping fit.
All right, so thank you, everybody. It's time to go, unfortunately, but I want to say that I love you, Bram. I've always loved you. I hope everything is good. Your school and life is good. What do you have to say? You love me?
Yep,
okay, that's good enough. All right, bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to Box of Blue and Bram. We will see you next month. Bye.
If you like news for kids in a different way, just check out Little News Ears on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platform.
May your sweetness shine.
And your colors glow. Blah.
News for today's broadcast include the New York Times.